Imagine a driverless car just barreling down a dark, wet highway at like 70 miles an hour.
Right.
And suddenly, the system detects a total catastrophic brake failure. It is literally a fraction of a second to make a choice.
Yeah, a terrifying scenario.
Exactly. It can swerve left directly into a heavy concrete barrier, which is likely going to injure the passenger inside, or it can swerve right onto the shoulder where it calculates a really high probability of hitting a pedestrian.
It's the classic trolley problem, but real.
Right. So, how does a machine, something made entirely of cold silicon wires and code, decide what is morally right? How do we teach a computer the difference between, a minor algorithmic hiccup, like a bad movie recommendation, and a fatal collision?
That is the million-dollar question.
Well, welcome to the deep dive. Today, we're exploring the incredibly complex and honestly sometimes terrifying intersection of human ethics and algorithmic safety.
And it is a massive challenge
Yeah.
because for the machine, there is no biological flinch.
Right.
There's no emotional weight or gut instinct to fall back on. To a computer, a 404 error on a web page and a fatal car crash are fundamentally just different outputs on a massive spreadsheet. I mean, there is only code.
Yeah, and that gets right to the heart of what our sources are tackling today. We're looking at this concept called value alignment, which is basically the desperate attempt to get artificial intelligence to care about the things that humans care about.
Exactly.
And closely related to that is moral uncertainty. Like, what happens when the machine encounters a situation where even humans can't agree on the right answer?
Which happens a lot more than we'd like to admit.
Oh, absolutely. So to unpack this, our sources dive into some heavy-hitting philosophical frameworks, things like deontology, teleology, and consequentialism. But look, I promise you, we aren't going to just read a dusty philosophy syllabus to you today.
No, definitely not.
We're going to look at exactly how these ancient ideas are physically coded into modern machine learning.
What's fascinating here is that we often think of artificial intelligence as this purely technical domain, right? Entirely isolated in server farms and data centers.
Just servers humming away in the dark.
Yeah. But the moment you try to measure its safety or dictate its behavior in the real world, you're instantly forced to confront our deepest, oldest moral intuitions. You literally cannot program a safety protocol without taking a philosophical stance.
Okay, let's unpack this.
Yeah.
Because the sources start by looking at how developers actually attempt to measure and map out AI safety before they even write a single line of ethical code.
Right, they need a baseline.
Yeah, and they start with something called a risk matrix. This essentially maps the frequency of a machine's error against the severity of that error, right?
Exactly. It's a foundational starting point for any of this. You essentially draw a graph with two axes. On one axis, you track how often the AI makes a mistake.
Okay.
And on the other axis, you track how catastrophic that mistake is when it actually happens in the real world.
Let's ground this with a real example so you can picture it. Think about the Netflix recommendation algorithm. It is highly imperfect. Its frequency of errors is incredibly high.
Oh, yeah. Constantly recommending stuff you'd never watch.
Right. Half the time, it suggests a movie or a show you have absolutely zero interest in. But the severity of that error, it's basically zero.
Right. You scroll past it, maybe you sigh in mild annoyance, but your life isn't altered. No one gets hurt.
Nobody dies from a bad rom-com suggestion.
Exactly. So, high frequency, extremely low severity. It sits comfortably in the bottom right corner of our risk matrix. It's a highly active but completely safe system.
But then let's look at a completely different technology from the sources, a Tesla driverless car. According to the statistics we have in the research, the frequency of severe errors, like accidents caused entirely by the autopilot, is quite low compared to human drivers.
Which is a good thing.
It is. But the severity of those errors is incredibly high. We are talking about twisted metal, severe injury, or the loss of human life. So low frequency, extremely high severity, it sits in a completely different corner of the matrix.
And we can push this even further into the extreme edge cases mentioned in the research. Imagine putting an advanced artificial intelligence in charge of monitoring and launching nuclear missiles.
Which sounds like a total sci-fi nightmare, but the sources point out this is a real theoretical framework developers have to model.
It is, but let's look at it purely through the lens of that risk matrix.
Yeah.
You
But hold on, I need to jump in here. Because this risk matrix makes total sense when we keep things in their own neat little conceptual boxes.
Right, the silos.
Yeah, we have a Netflix box, we have a Tesla box, we have a hypothetical nuclear box. But our sources point out that within these systems, developers use another tool called a confusion matrix. And this is where things start to get messy.
Very messy.
What exactly is a confusion matrix, and how does it differ from just mapping frequency and severity?
That is a crucial distinction. While a risk matrix measures how often and how bad an error is, a confusion matrix is a specific tool used in machine learning to measure the types of predictions an AI makes.
Okay, the types of predictions.
Right. It tracks true positive, true negatives, false positives, and false negatives.
Give me a tangible example of how that works in, say, our driverless car scenario.
Sure. Let's say the AI is trying to predict if there's an obstacle in the road. A true positive is when the AI sees a child in the street, knows it's an obstacle, and hits the brakes.
Working as intended.
Exactly. A true negative is when the road is clear, the AI knows it's clear, and it just keeps driving normally. Both of those are successes.
It's the false ones we have to worry about.
Precisely. A false positive is when the AI predicts an obstacle that isn't really there.
Like a shadow.
Yeah, maybe it sees a dark shadow from an overpass, thinks it's a solid concrete wall, and aggressively slams on the brakes. The car behind you spills their coffee, but, you know, no one is severely hurt.
Annoying, but not lethal.
Right. A false negative, however, is when the AI fails to predict a real obstacle. It sees a white semi-truck against a bright white sky, categorizes it as empty space, and doesn't brake at all.
Which is a catastrophic failure. So the confusion matrix helps developers see exactly how the AI's logic is failing. But if the risk matrix and the confusion matrix show us that the stakes between a Netflix algorithm and a Tesla algorithm are worlds apart, how do developers bridge that gap?
That's the core problem.
Right, because the tech industry wants universal standards. They want a master theory of safety. But to do that, they have to force these completely different realities, like a bad movie and a fatal crash, into a single shared mathematical language.
And that leads to a process called normalization. This is the attempt to rank every single kind of AI mistake on one continuous numerical scale. You're basically trying to find a master algorithm to compare the incomparable.
And honestly, this is where the math gets incredibly morbid. Let's talk about the underlying code here, because a computer doesn't know what a pedestrian is. It just sees a cluster of LiDAR data points.
Exactly. It's blind to context.
So how does a developer physically code this? They use something called a reward function, right?
Yes. In reinforcement learning, a developer assigns weights or points to different variables in a reward function.
Yeah.
The AI is programmed to seek the highest possible score.
It's basically playing a video game.
It really is. So if safely reaching the destination is plus 1,000 points, but hitting pedestrian is minus 1 million points, the AI runs probabilistic math hundreds of times a second to ensure its path yields the highest mathematical score.
But to build a universal scale, you have to assign a point value to literally everything, which means taking a consequentialist approach.
Right, consequentialism.
Yeah, the sources define consequentialism as an ethical theory that judges the morality of an action solely by its consequences. Everything can be tallied up on a ledger. So the sources walk us through this exact progression, and we have to share it with you because it perfectly illustrates the madness of this task.
It's a dark rabbit hole.
It is.
Yeah.
We have to ask the algorithm, how many bad Netflix recommendations mathematically equal one spilled coffee?
Let's explain that spilled coffee real quick. We mentioned the false positive earlier, where the Tesla sees a shadow and hits the brakes.
Yeah.
The industry actually calls that a phantom brake.
Right.
Often, no one is hurt. But if you're holding a cup of coffee, the sudden deceleration means it spills all over your shirt.
Okay, so we have two minor AI errors, a movie recommendation you hate, and a stained shirt from a phantom brake. If you are the developer writing the reward function, you have to put a number on it. How many bad movies equal one ruined shirt? Let's just say, for the sake of the math, it's 10. 10 bad recommendations equal the annoyance of one coffee spill.
Okay, sure. And once you establish that mathematical baseline, the algorithm starts climbing the ladder. You ask the next question. How many phantom brake coffee spills would you tolerate to prevent one sprained neck?
Right, because a sprained neck from a much harder phantom brake is definitely worse than a stained shirt.
Exactly. So maybe the code dictates that it's mathematically acceptable to cause 10 coffee spills to avoid one sprained neck.
So now, by the transitive property of this reward function, 100 bad movie recommendations equal one sprained neck. And we keep climbing. How many sprained necks equal a mild concussion where your head slams back into the headrest but you don't lose consciousness?
Let's say 10 again.
Okay. Then how many mild concussions equal a fractured pinky finger?
Well, now we're crossing a line here, right? From soft tissue discomfort to an actual broken bone, a small internal crack that swells up and takes weeks to heal. It's a distinct escalation in physical severity.
But mathematically, to the computer, it's just the next integer on the scale. And the developer keeps going. The fractured pinky finger scales up to a fractured arm.
Right.
The fractured arm scales up to a broken hip. The broken hip scales to a broken back without paralysis.
And then to a broken back with paralysis.
Exactly. All the way up the ladder, assigning negative point values step by painful step until you finally reach a human fatality.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, this is the ultimate endpoint of a pure teleological system.
Teleology, right?
Yeah. Teleology is a framework that focuses entirely on the ultimate goal or outcome. If your algorithmic goal is to reduce overall harm across a global system using a single mathematical formula, you will inevitably reach a point where a massive number of tiny harms equals one ultimate harm.
It's inevitable.
Mathematically, yes. 10 million bad Netflix recommendations become entirely numerically equal to one human death.
But wait, I absolutely refuse to believe that developers just sit in a room and comfortably agree that 100 concussions equals a dead body. As a human being, my brain completely rejects that. It feels absurd and cold.
It does feel cold, but they have to do it.
Really?
Yeah. If they don't assign those exact weights, the code will literally not compile a decision. The car won't know whether to swerve into the barrier or onto the shoulder. It'll just freeze.
And this highlights the massive tension between theoretical computer science and actual human implementation. This is where the pushback from the sources comes in, introducing the concept of deontology. Yep. What exactly is the deontological argument against this morbid math?
Deontology is the ethical framework based on rules, duties, and inherent moral absolutes, rather than just tallying up consequences on a scoreboard.
Okay.
It argues that some actions are just inherently right or wrong, regardless of the mathematical outcome.
Right. And the sources present what they call the dignity argument. It argues that human life is completely unmeasurable. It doesn't mean life is infinite in a mathematical sense, like a number so high the AI just can't count it.
Right. It's not just a really big number.
Exactly. It means that trying to measure human life in units of Netflix recommendations or spilled coffees is fundamentally a category mistake.
That is a crucial distinction to understand. It's not that the spreadsheet isn't big enough to hold the value of a human life. It's that the spreadsheet is the wrong tool altogether.
Yes. I love the analogy the sources use for this. Trying to put human life on that normalized scale is like asking, what is the color of a sound?
It's nonsensical.
Totally nonsensical. Sound doesn't have a color. You can't measure one with the properties of the other. And for someone operating from a deontological place of human dignity, it doesn't make any sense to ask how much a life is worth in terms of algorithmic inconveniences.
No, it doesn't.
You just cannot put a point value on the soul for a reward function.
And yet, developers can make a very reasonable, persuasive case for why normalization is required.
Which is the frustrating part.
It is. But if you want a machine to optimize for safety across millions of variables globally, across millions of autonomous vehicles, it needs a common language. And a machine's only language is numbers.
Right.
It cannot compute human dignity. It can only compute a scale from 1 to 100. If you don't give it the math, the car freezes.
So what does this all mean? If our human intuition completely rejects this consequentialist math, but the machines physically require the math to function, how does this actually play out in the real world?
Well, that brings us to the final layer of our deep dive, real-world functionality.
Okay.
This moves away from just theories of severity and normalization and looks at how these systems handle the sheer unpredictability of reality. The sources divide the environment an AI operates into three categories.
Right. The knowns and unknowns.
Exactly. Known risks, known unknowns, and unknown unknowns.
Okay. The sources have a brilliant comparison here to illustrate this, and we definitely need to explore it. We are going to compare an AI playing a game of chess to an AI driving a car. How do these three categories apply to an AI chess champion?
Let's start with the closed system of chess. An AI chess player faces known risks. It knows that if it leaves its queen undefended, the opponent will take it. That's a known risk programmed right into the rules.
It also faces known unknowns. The AI doesn't know exactly what its human opponent is going to do on the very next turn.
Right, there's mystery there.
Yeah. The opponent might surprise the AI with a complex fork move, attacking a knight and a bishop simultaneously, but, and this is the absolute key to understanding this, you can literally write down every single possible legal move in a chess game.
Exactly.
It is a finite game. The AI knows the exact boundaries of what it doesn't know.
The bounds of its ignorance are perfectly mapped out.
Yeah.
Now, contrast that finite, closed reality with the AI driverless car. The car operates in an open system. It faces knowns,
yeah.
right? We know human drivers sometimes try to beat a yellow light and end up running a red. The developers program the AI's reward function to watch out for that specific behavior.
And the car faces known unknowns. A human driver might run that red light for a variety of reasons. They might be distracted by a text message, they might be having a heart attack, or their brakes might have completely failed.
Right, the AI doesn't know the why.
Exactly. The AI doesn't know why the car is running the red light, but it knows that a car entering the intersection unexpectedly is a mathematical possibility. It's on the list of variables to watch out for.
This raises an important question. We've covered the knowns and the finite known unknowns. But the physical world isn't a chessboard. What happens when the truly unprogrammable occurs?
Oh, man.
What happens when the algorithm encounters the third category? The unknown unknown.
This is the ultimate edge case, and it's where the normalized math completely shatters. The sources give this wild, almost absurd example. You are in a Tesla on the highway doing 70 miles an hour, and suddenly a massive bolt of lightning strikes the car directly in front of you, instantly fusing it to the asphalt.
It sounds crazy, but it's physically possible.
It is. Or, to take it to the absolute logical extreme from the sources, an alien UFO lands on the highway right in front of your bumper.
Right. These are events that no developer, no matter how imaginative, programmed into the vehicle's risk matrix or reward function.
Huh.
They are completely outside the boundaries of anticipated reality.
Yeah. The machine has zero weighted points assigned to a UFO.
None at all.
And here is the fascinating irony that separates the two technologies we just talked about. If lightning strikes a chessboard, or, you know, if someone just bumps the table and all the wooden pieces spill onto the floor, the game simply ends.
Right, the context is broken.
Yeah, the parameters of the closed system are broken, so the algorithm just stops calculating. But if lightning strikes the highway in front of a smart car, the driving must continue.
You are exactly right. The AI in the car cannot throw up an error message and say, this is outside my parameters. Game over.
Right.
It is governed by physics and momentum. It's barreling down a highway. It is forced to react to a situation for which it has absolutely no mathematical normalization, no reference point, and no programmed intuition.
The car is locked in motion. It has to make a moral choice. Swerve left, swerve right, or brake without a script.
And if we tie this back to the broader implications of our sources, this exposes a deep algorithmic bias and what researchers call structural unsafety. Driverless cars, and honestly, many modern AI systems, are structurally less safe than chess algorithms.
Not because of bad code.
Right. Not because the code is written poorly, but specifically because reality contains unknown unknowns. The physical world is an open system. And by definition, an open system will eventually present an AI with an event that shatters its confusion matrix and breaks its carefully wired scale.
It really brings it all back to you, the listener. Think about this the next time you get into a smart car, or even when you just blindly trust a recommendation algorithm to shape what news you read or what financial decisions you make.
You're trusting the math.
Yeah, you are sitting at the exact intersection of graduate-level philosophy and raw probabilistic data. You are relying on a machine that has desperately tried to translate the unmeasurable color of a sound into a simple point system.
We're asking machines to resolve ethical dilemmas. Like the value of a human life versus overall systemic efficiency that human philosophers haven't agreed on in thousands of years.
It's wild when you put it like that.
And we're asking them to do it at highway speeds, using math that fundamentally fails to capture human dignity.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Because understanding this tension doesn't magically solve the problem, it just clarifies the immense stakes of the technology we're building. So I want to hand it over to you to leave us with one final thought. Based on all the layers we've unpacked today, from risk matrices to reward functions to unknown unknowns, what is the ultimate dilemma we are left with?
It really comes down to this.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine you are the one sitting at the keyboard. You are writing the code that will control our society's infrastructure, our transit, our medical grids. Which ethical good do you choose to program?
Wow, okay.
Do you choose the consequentialist good-reducing human safety to a cold, normalized metric that might mathematically trade 10 million spilled coffees for a human life, knowing it systematically reduces overall harm across the globe?
Or
do you choose the deontological good, refusing to measure human dignity on a spreadsheet, preserving the sanctity of our humanity, but leaving the machine utterly paralyzed by moral uncertainty the moment the lightning strikes.
That is a massive question to chew on. You either reduce life to a spreadsheet or you build a machine that freezes when the world gets unpredictable. There really are no easy answers, just trade-offs. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive. Keep questioning the algorithms that shape your world, and remember, the next time your machine makes a mistake, ask yourself what kind of math it was using to make that choice.